The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When it was evening on the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through him, believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you please be seated? So, Jeremy, you can tally up another sermon that talks about my sabbatical. Okay, he's been keeping track, just so you know. In this last past week, it's been filled with meetings with many of the key committees, staff, vestry, and clergy before I leave town on April 15th, tax day, for my sabbatical. I have my taxes done, thank you very much. On Tuesday, our stewardship committee met with the new canon to our stewardship for the diocese, Canon Klein Kuntz. We received a lot of great information and ideas as we move forward as a church. One of the main things we discussed in the meeting is that stewardship does not just happen between October and December when we're doing our annual stewardship campaign. Surprise, right? Stewardship is something that we should be doing, and it should be important to all of us in the church as members, as staff, as volunteer leadership, and yes, including clergy. Today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles would be a great setup for a stewardship sermon. Don't you agree? I know Jonathan is. He's like our stewardship chair. He's like, "Yeah, go for it." After all, the people sold their land and houses, and they laid the proceeds down at the apostles' feet. Now, if any of you are thinking of getting rid of some houses or selling some things, and you want to lay that money down at the feet of this church for doing ministry, we'll be happy to accept that gift. But this passage is, an act speaks about the heart of stewardship. It shows the closeness of God to the early believers. Ken and Kuntz impressed on the stewardship committee that we need to focus on drawing people closer to God, then time and talent and treasure will follow. So what was happening in that early church that caused them to give so generously? I think it needs a closer look. Many years ago, when I was a rector in Oklahoma at my prior church, I wrote an article for a local newspaper in the religion section after Easter. Can you imagine having a religion section? Yeah, it was a small town, so that's why they had one. And I entitled my article, "Alleluia, Christ is Risen, What's Next?" The point of the article was to get everyone to think about what do we do with this awesome gift of new life that Jesus has given us. By dying for our sins on the cross and then rising to life again, because when we accept this gift, truly accept it, we are never the same. We are transformed. And in being transformed, we need to act and think differently. That was what was happening in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It says, "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common." Soon after that first Easter, a community of believers began to form. No doubt they came together because of the persecution and harassment, both by the Jewish leadership and also the Roman authorities. The timing of this passage in the Acts that we read is after the Holy Spirit has already been given to the apostles. The book of Acts also tells us that after they received the Holy Spirit, they being the apostles, they were teaching with boldness and healing people. Earlier in Acts, in chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." A new community of people was formed, and it looked and it felt different than anything that was already there. The book of Acts says, "With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all." What a contrast this passage in Acts has from the scene that is painted in our gospel reading from John. Just after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we find the disciples are meeting behind locked doors in fear of the Jews. They didn't want to have the same things happen to them that happened to Jesus. Then suddenly, the resurrected Jesus comes and stands in their midst and says, "Peace be with you." What changed these disciples from these cowering behind locked doors to powerfully giving their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What changed in these disciples was that they saw with their own eyes that Jesus lived. It was what Thomas also needed to see before he could go boldly out into the world beyond the locked doors to proclaim Jesus Christ as the resurrected from the dead. Scripture tells us that in the weeks after the resurrection from the dead and before his ascension into heaven, Jesus appeared to over 500 witnesses. Paul writes in his first letter to the church in Corinth, "Jesus was seen by Peter and then by the 12, and after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died." Eyewitness accounts are very powerful, so powerful that the early church community wanted to support the apostles in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. This was too good of news to keep to themselves. So they sold their possessions, supported each other, and more importantly, supported the cause to move that message out. Yet Jesus says to Thomas in our gospel reading, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Who is Jesus talking about being blessed? Well, it's you and me. I would dare say that most of us here today have not talked, is that a word? I'm ready for a sabbatical. Have not talked or eaten or seen the risen Christ. Yet we believe he rose from the dead and that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. In our last Wednesday study that we did a case for Easter by Lee Strobel. And I was introduced to a person, J. Warner Wallace, in this book. You may have heard of Wallace for his work as a homicide detective. Wallace has investigated several high-profile cold case murders, and some of his cases have been featured on Dateline on NBC. But what impressed me even more about Wallace was he put his detective skills to work on the writings of the New Testament. A former atheist, in 1996, Wallace became a Christian at the age of 35. After investigating the Gospels as potential eyewitness accounts to the life of Jesus using his detective expertise, what Wallace summarized was that the eyewitness accounts about Jesus were true and thus should be believed. We may not have our own eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, teachings, his death or resurrection, but we have the eyewitness accounts of those who saw with their own eyes and shared with all of us through the writings of the New Testament. The early Christians were fueled with this fire of this eyewitness accounts of the risen Christ, and because of this, they lived very differently than they had in the past. They changed and were transformed by the gospel message and acted on this transformation. Yes, hallelujah, Christ is risen, but what's next for believers today? We heard that what the early Christian communities did, but it's our turn to do something. Something happened that first Easter that changed the world forever. Over 2,000 years later, we are still feeling that impact. Like the first Christians, we are called into action to show the world a better way to live and to act, to show Christ's love in this world. Sometimes we need to step out of our comfort zones and allow God to work in our lives. Some of you have shared with me recently that you've asked somebody to come to church and they came. Can you believe that? I mean, sometimes you just have to ask, right? Over the next few months, some of the individuals, leaders here will be stepping up because I'll be gone and doing Bible studies, leading Bible studies. Some of my subdeacons will be leading evening prayer worship on Saturday evening 3 times a month. Let me tell you, they may not say it, but they're stepping out of their comfort zones. As much as I am looking forward to my sabbatical, to travel where I have planned to Europe for 12 different countries in 72 days, it is way out of my comfort zone. And though I have a 6-page Excel spreadsheet of itinerary to calm my nerves a bit, I know I will be relying on God to be with Johnny and me as we go on this journey. God is asking us to step out of our comfort zones all the time. And I got a feeling God is going to do some awesome things with me and give me some great ideas of how we can accomplish God's mission here at Christ the King while I'm on sabbatical. So I'm going to give you a word of warning. Practice stepping out of your comfort zone now so that when I come back in August, you'll have already been practiced. Okay? Hallelujah, Christ is risen. What's next? Let's make this year a year that's stepping out of our comfort zones into doing God's work in this world. Amen.